Welcome to another episode of Inside the Helmet here at OpenPaddock.net. This time we're joined with Mark Eaton, USF 2000 driver for Robinson Motorsport, driving a Formula Enterprise in the national class. And Mark, welcome to the show. Glad to have you with us.
Thank you, Doug.
So the last time I remember seeing you on track beside this year was back in 2008. You were at the FCCA runoffs at Heartland Park, Topeka. I remember it very vividly because it was the first genuine motorsports event that I had attended as a photographer, and was able to capture an image of you right after you had won the Formula Enterprise championship that year with your arms outstretched with the checkered flag waving. It really got me juiced about photography and motorsports photography. But since then, I must admit, I've not heard much. What have you been up to since the days of the Formula Enterprise?
Well, we've been still here working with the team as far as driver coaching, engineering, team management, you know, all the different facets of the business that I'm involved in. And unfortunately, after 2008, with the U.S. economy taking a dump, lost all the sponsorship that we had to run the SCCA National Racing Series and go for the runoffs. And we did a little bit of racing in 2009, maybe only four races just to get qualified. And we were doing pretty good at the runoffs during the week in 2009 to defend. We were probably the second-place car for the weekend. We hadn't had a whole lot of seat time during the season, and just not quite at the pace as we had liked to have been compared to 2007 and 2008 when we were the car to beat at every event we went to. And we ended up having a mechanical failure in 2009 and didn't finish. And in 2010, we didn't do any Formula Enterprise racing. Just brought out my old Spec Racer Ford that I personally own, that I've had since 1994, and just did a bunch of SCCA regional racing with a co-driver of mine, doing enduros, stuff like that. And now 2011, continued the same route with the Spec Racer Ford, just keeping in seat time, just having a good time out there running and enjoying myself in the club series. And then towards the end of 2011, one of our customers, Joel Janko, who currently runs with us right now, he decided that he wanted to go after the Mazda Road Indy Series, wanted to come and run this year. So in 2011, towards the end of the season, we got notification that we were going to be joined into the series, and went ahead and started preparing as far as fitness levels. Of course, you know, to drive a Spec Racer Ford, it's kind of like a Cadillac. You don't really have to be as physically fit as you need to. So I got a little bit lazy as far as working out and keeping on the exercise regimen from 2009 to 2011. So I had to start preparing myself physically and mentally to tackle the series again, try to keep up with these young bucks who are in half my age and pretty superior condition, I guess you could say, at the time. And, you know, that's pretty much where we started. Just got going again in 2011. We ran FE Pro Series race at Road Atlanta. Did pretty well there. We finished second in one of the races. And then, unfortunately, though, we couldn't run the second round. I had fallen ill with a flu-like symptoms and was barely even able to walk around the paddock, so I was unfortunately unable to do the second race. And then we ran a couple of Spec Racer races at the end of 2011 after that, just to get a little bit more seat time in preparation for this race, and did a little bit of testing in January before the season opener on the 12-hour Sebring weekend in March. And that's pretty much what I've been doing since then.
Well, you know, I wanted to everyone that I've talked to that's been in the Formula Enterprise open wheel format, I've had to ask, of course, this chassis was designed so that you could switch back and forth between the open wheel configuration and the sports car configuration. Did you ever have a chance to run this Formula Enterprise chassis in its sports car configuration?
No, never did. Always wanted to, just to give it a try. Those cars were running in the IMSA Light Series, and I believe in the L3 class, and they had pretty good success in that category, but as far as, like, the club racing aspect, the car was, I think, putting C-Sports or D-Sports racer, and it just didn't have enough horsepower. It was too heavy of a car, not enough downforce. So it never did appeal to anybody to try to run in that series and try to make it a sports racer spec class, just like the Formula Enterprise actually is a spec class.
Right.
I never had a chance to, always wanted to, and SCCA just never did make many sales on the car, so even an opportunity to drive somebody's car for testing purposes, laying some data and video doing butchering work, it just never arrived.
Well, let's go back a little further. You mentioned your old Spec Racer Ford, and is that how you got into racing? Looking at the info here on your career, looks like back in 1997 was when you were there at the runoffs for the first time in a spec Ford. Was that the first year you got into racing, or was it earlier? How did you get into this this hobby sport addiction?
I actually got into it at a very young age. My parents met at a rally, end of the season rally party over in England. My dad was an Air Force brat, and my mom was living in England, and she was actually a navigator for a team. And that's how my parents met, through motorsports. And my grandpa actually raced sprint cars before he got drafted into World War II. So it's kind of in my pedigree. It's in my bloodline. And I started racing go-karts at 14 years old in Orlando, Florida. We ran a club race, club series over there. And I did that until my dad ended up losing his job, I think, in 1992. He ended up losing his job in 92. So I took a hiatus from racing from 1992 to 1995. When I purchased my spec racer Ford and started running an FCCA club racing event.
Well,
and then ran FCCA club racing events pretty much all the way up to 2000, then started getting involved in the spec racer Ford Pro Series from 2000 to 2002.
Okay, and that eventually led into the opportunity for the Formula Enterprise?
The Formula Enterprise. Yeah, go ahead.
What was that, in 2007?
In 2003, actually, Yeah, 2003, FCCA Enterprises, through the CSR Network, decided to get into open-wheel racing and came up with the Formula Enterprise concept, spec car. And the inaugural race, we were actually listed as Formula Atlantic cars, but out of the six Formula Enterprises cars that were entered at Roebling Road Raceway during the Double National in July, I finished first out of all the Formula Enterprises cars and third in Formula Atlantic. So that was my first time in an Enterprise car that weekend.
Okay.
And ever since then, I've enjoyed the speed of it, and, you know, the competition is a great car.
Well, now, you mentioned that early you how you got into this, how your family got into this was through rally. Have, you know, and aside from open-wheel racing, IndyCar racing, rally racing is one of our favorite forms of motorsport to watch here at Open Paddock. Have you ever gotten into a rally yourself? Have you ever competed?
No, I never did compete. Actually, just this 2 weekends ago, we were in the middle of, because all the races are up in the northern part of the country right now. We're based
right.
in Florida, so we're doing a lot of transit, flying back and forth. Well, we've been borrowing a shop over in Dayton, Ohio, Hippie Racing, and on that property, there's some guys that rent the building that he has, and he's got a massive amount of property, probably 100 acres. Well, these guys are rally guys, and they built a rally course out there. So my first experience at rally was actually 2 weeks ago, in some Mercedes-Benz. It's actually an autocross car, and I tell you, that was it was just counterintuitive to everything I've ever known and learned on the street. You know, you're not supposed to counter-steer, you're supposed to use a throttle, you're supposed to turn into it and use the throttle, and it's just very counterintuitive, and I did, I guess you could say, two sessions per se, two 10-minute runs. And the first one, I was having a hard time keeping it on the dirt. I kept going off into the grass and off their course. And then the second time, after I let my buddy go out for a couple of laps, I was like, you know, okay, this is what I need to do. And then I started getting the hang of it. But in comparison, if you were to put a lap time on, I was probably 10 seconds a lot slower than the guys who actually did it. But that was my first experience ever in a rally.
Well, here at the end of 2011, FCCA announced that the Formula Enterprise Pro Series, along with the with its companion series, the Sports and the Spec Ford, that they weren't going to be running in 2012. Was that the impetus to then start looking towards USF 2000?
Yeah, yes, it was, because we wanted to do some pro racing as we were going through the 2011 season, and we did the finale at Road Atlanta for the FCCA Pro Racing event, and we wanted to do the FCCA Pro Racing series this year, but when it went belly up, and then their experiments with FCC Enterprises got with Dan Anderson and USF 2000, and put their minds together and decided, well, let's go ahead and try to make this a feeder series. You know, I guess you could say, because the Formula Enterprise car, you can take from the FCCA driver schools, you can do regionals and nationals, and you can also come do the USF 2000 series. So basically, that's what they're kind of looking for, is a portal to get guys who are just getting into racing, these kids who don't have the big budgets to run the championship series and immediately jump into something like this. Let them go into FCCA club racing, cut their teeth into driver schools, do some regionals, get some seat time, and learn what a car is as compared to the go-kart, and just get the experience.
Well, now, with the addition of the Formula Enterprise cars, we now have really three specs within USF 2000. We've got the championship class, and then you've got the national class, which is split. between the previous national class Formula 2000 cars and now the inclusion of the Formula Enterprise. How do the two national class cars compare to each other?
At first, when the season opened, there was a pretty distance in parity. The Continentals, the original national class cars, were way faster than we were. And Steve from Elite Engines, he's been doing a pretty good job of working with the teams and doing some detuning and letting us have a couple concessions as far as open up our exhaust, got us another 3 horsepower. They lowered the weight, which is good for some of the teams, but I guess you could say large for a driver, 6 foot, 160 pounds. Most of the guys in the open wheel series, you know, 120 pounds in here. So we're a little, just, you know, a little bit of a weight disadvantage to some of the other guys out here. But they've done a pretty good job as far as making parity between the Continentals, taking away some of the horsepower, giving us a little bit, taking away some of the weight, to where the lap times are really, really close now. At Sebring, the opening round, we were definitely 2 seconds slower, but we were still able to, Enterprise's cars were still able to get wins due to just mechanical and racing issues with some of the other national class champions, or I should say national class Continentals. But after St. Pete, I believe I had the fastest lap of the race in race two, and in race one, we were the fastest car until we had a little incidental contact on the racetrack, and it ended up forcing us to come into the pits with a busted radiator. But they've done a pretty good job so far with the parity. I think right now Continental is probably leading the points, but in overall wins, I think it's probably even. The Continental has just as many wins as the Enterprise car and vice versa. So right now, coming into this race with nobody really knowing the track that well, I'm hoping that we can maybe get ourselves back in victory lane.
Well, you certainly started out well in Sebring, as you mentioned, with a race win, and that had to fill you with some confidence going in through the rest of the 2012 season. But then, as you said, St. Pete didn't go first race at St. Pete, and the first race at Mid Ohio didn't quite go as expected. Is the confidence back after Road America? Or
After Road America, we had a good race at Road America. It was hard pill to swallow in Mid Ohio. Just the way the weekend went, you know, we had a pretty good car, and Mid Ohio is not one of my strong circuits because I don't race there that often. And you know, we had a good car, we made a good start, and then we had a fuel line burst inside the fuel cell, and that just, you know, we didn't even get across the line to get one lap, so that started us dead last on the Sunday race. And the Sunday race, we started off in somewhat damp conditions and getting offline and whatnot to try to make moves, and I just mainly moved up the grid, moved up to fifth position overall, I mean, in the class, and I'm not sure exactly where it finished overall, just mainly guys were coming in, changing tires to switch over the drives, and there was a lot of cautions in that event, so that helped me move away up just through attrition and whatnot.
Did you stay on the wets the whole race?
Yes, I stayed on wets the entire race, and the track ended up actually drying probably around lap two. A lot of the guys came in and got drives. As soon as the green flag flew, they did one lap and came right in. So unfortunately, though, for them, there were so many yellows that they weren't able to take advantage of the tire changes.
Now, something that may be new, and let me know if it is, in the Formula Enterprise Pro, the SCCA Pro, did they ever do street circuits like you experienced at St. Pete and like you're getting ready to do here at Baltimore?
No, they didn't. They all used regular road courses. Like Bratton, Ohio, stuff like that. There was never any street circuits. I had experience one time in a Sprecher Support Pro race back in 2000 at San Diego. They had a street circuit there on the Air Force Base. That was the only time I ever had experience with a street circuit.
What was that that experience like, especially at St. Pete, where it's partially an airport circuit? You got the front stretch, but the rest of it is basically racing through a canyon, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. As long as you keep between the lines, you know, you just got to treat the road course the same way as a street circuit, basically, the way I see it. You want to keep it in between the lines and keep off the grass. So, you know, you can take a little bit more risks over on the road course, of course, because you have runoff area and your mistakes don't pay a high price. But here, yeah, you got to keep it between the lines and just leave a little bit on the table as you're going through the turns just to be on the safe side. You know, you never know what's on the other side of that wall. A lot of times you're going through those canyons and you see a yellow flag. You don't want to give up too much because you don't want to lose ground to the next guy, but you go into the corner wondering, yeah, what's on the other side? You know, it can be a little bit tricky and hairy at times, but St. Pete was a good experience. We didn't have any problems there outside of just that one contact, and we had a fast race car, and we should have had a win. Unfortunately, we didn't pick up a win there, just, you know, the way things ended up. But I like street racing. I really don't have an issue with it. The way I drive the car, just because I have to do the wrenching on it as well. So when you have to do your own wrenching and you have to run the business and you also have to drive, you know, my plate's full all day long. So I really don't like to put my car off on the track because that just adds to my workload, and I might not get the car done and fixed to go back out on track.
Well,
I try to drive 10-tenths as much as I can, but 10-tenths is just need just a touch left on the table just because of that aspect.
Well, that brings me up to my next question. I was hoping to get your insight as a owner, partial owner, looking at street circuits. Does racing a street circuit with the increased risk increase your expected cost? And how comfortable does that make you from the owner side, from wrenching on your own cars, as you say? In this higher risk type of environment?
Yeah, it definitely is higher risk. As far as being a partial owner and whatnot and the increased cost, I know I have a certain amount of budget for the year, and I'd like to do the entire season. I like to come out and race with these guys, and just going and smacking the car into concrete and ripping off the side, that could easily wipe out the remainder of my season. So just the risk-reward factor on the street circuit, it's a very fine line. It's a knife edge. You just got to, you know, be prepared for what might be on the other side and just keep the car in between the lines. You know, sometimes coming out of a corner, if I have any doubt that I might drop two wheels on a road course, knowing that there's concrete there on the street course, I'll just crack that throttle just a touch that only God and I know about.
So coming up to Baltimore, this is going to be a brand new configuration. And as you said, everybody's going to be unfamiliar with this circuit. So it kind of puts everybody on equal footing. No one's going to have deeper knowledge about the circuit than anybody else, to a degree. I mean, they're using a lot of the same elements, from what I understand. But last year, they had a bumper crop, 18. But this year, throughout the season, we've seen fields on the order of low 30s at these races. And so putting 30... USF 2000 cars with the Formula Enterprise mixed in, will the congestion be an issue?
At St. Pete, a couple times congestion was an issue, but a lot of times you just roll out of the throttle because it's, you know, if you have to back out even 2-3 tenths to a turn, that destroys that entire lap. So it's just best to back way out of the throttle, let people get some space in front of you and back of you, and then go ahead and try to drop the hammer and lay down one lap. That's all it takes in qualifying, is just get that one lap. That's mainly just focus on it. It's congested, but you just got to be patient and, you know, keep contact with your crew to know how much time you have left in a session. And if you blow a corner, that lap shot, just back out and try to get some room and get some breathing room. But with 30 cars, yeah, it can be a little bit congested at times. But honestly, I didn't think St. Pete was that bad. I heard some guys complaining a lot about the traffic, but you just got to be patient and bide your time and know how much clock is remaining in the session.
You know, with the two basic classes, even though there's – the original intent was to have parity between the championship and the national classes. We've seen that there really isn't. It's kind of like a sports car race where you have the multiple classes. And you had experience in racing sports cars in the Grand Am Continental Tire Series last year. Is there any similarity in the style of racing? Are you looking forward as much as you're looking in your mirrors, looking for traffic coming up from behind?
Yeah, you look forward most of the time, of course, but every time I come out of a corner, I just check the mirror. Halfway down the straightaway, I'll check the mirror, and before I enter a turn, I'll check the mirror. But, you know, you see a faster car coming, and the best thing to do is just, you're going to lose less time if you're going down the straightaway. If you just crack the throttle a little bit, give him a 0.5, let him get in line, you stay on line, and you go through the turn. You're going to lose much less time than battling the guy down into the brake zone, going side by side through the turn. And the risk-reward factor, you eliminate any sort of risk if you just let the guy go by. He's going to get around you no matter what. He's run you down. In my experience, just the best thing to do, give him the 0.5, let him have the track. He's going to take it anyway. So you might as well just roll over and let him have it.
Well, here, coming up the last event of the season, you're going to be joining the ALMS series there at the Virginia International Raceway, VIR. Is the USF 2000 series, do you know, going to run the grand course, the full circuit, as ALMS, and have you ever run at VIR before?
Yes, I have run at VIR several times. I don't remember exactly what to call those circuits. I know they have North Course, South Course, Full Course, and there's another configuration. I believe we are running the full course. It's 3-something miles, I believe. I do believe it's going to be the same configuration for both, ALMS and Maserati Indy Series.
Yeah.
I believe it's going to be the same configuration for both of us.
So what can we expect to see from the racing in the USF 2000 Series at VIR? It's going to be similar to kind of what we saw there at Road America. The two circuits seem similar in length and with the large elevation changes and such. But is the racing going to be the same?
Yeah, I think it will be. I think the racing is going to be the same. Both have very long straightaways, lots of drafting opportunities, some fantastic brake zones, good mixture of slow corners and fast corners. VIR has a few more slow corners and fast corners as compared to Road America. It's mainly high-speed corners everywhere. But as far as the racing, yeah, I think we're going to see pretty much the same type of racing. Lots of good drafting, lots of good outbreaking. And, I just can't wait to go there, too. It's been a great season. I really enjoyed running this so far.
Well, one thing that the national class has not done that the championship class does do in USF 2000, and that's run on an oval. The USF 2000 series has run at the Lucas Oil Raceway in Indianapolis Raceway Park. Do you miss racing on an oval? Have you ever done any oval racing? Do you miss the opportunity to have done it this year?
Yeah, I had done some oval racing. I did some oval racing in go-karts towards, I guess you could say, the end of my go-karting career in 1999. I did some go-kart racing on a small oval. I raced one time at Pikes Peak in the Sprint Racer 4 Pro Series, and that really wasn't a very good experience for me. I had a suspension on a brake and tagged the wall coming out of NASCAR 4, and I blacked out for a little while. And unfortunately, when I did black out, my foot ended up coming off the brake pedal, and somehow I got jammed up into the gas and the brake pedal, and I hit the wall and came unconscious, and ended up breaking my ankle, separating my ankle, and doing a bunch of ligament damage. So, it hurt pretty bad. I still ended up doing the race. I didn't do very well, of course, driving around on my, using the left foot for the gas and the brake for that event. But as far as oval racing, I do miss it. It's fun. It is very intense, but the concrete walls hurt pretty bad, and it's not a bad thing to avoid that. I've had 2 or 3 concussions before, and that's not a very fun thing. So I do miss oval racing, the aspect of the speed and the competition. But if there were softer walls on it, I'd be more than happy to go run an oval again. But as far as hitting the hard concrete, I really don't miss that too much. I'd much rather stick to road racing.
So next year, coming into 2013, plans on staying at USF 2000, or does Robinson Racing have any designs on perhaps moving up and becoming involved in the Star Mazda series or higher up in the Maserati Indy program?
We really don't know what we're going to do just yet. It just depends upon who we can find as drivers and sponsors. We have a very shaky economy still. People have a hard time getting money. We have a couple guys that are very interested in coming and running the series next year. Eric Silgaris is one of our drivers, and Paul Allspott. They'd like to come and run either the national class or the championship class next year with us. It's just a matter of them getting a sponsorship. And as far as I'm coming back, the same deal. If I can get the sponsorship, we'll be back to run it again next year. So we're just going to keep hitting the books and keep on the phones and talk to people and see if we can come up with some money for next year.
Well, Mark, thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate you taking time out as you're preparing here for the Baltimore race weekend. Again, thank you very much for spending time with us.
You're very welcome, Doug. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Best of luck.
Thank you. Talk to you later.